All right, I want you to turn with me now to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to speak to you this morning on my favorite subject. If you get this, I mean get it in your heart, if you get this and rest all your hope right here, you will be saved. You will be saved. You will have eternal salvation. This is the whole theme of the message I'm going to preach to you this morning. This is the theme of every message I've preached to you since the first day I set foot in New Jersey. And Lord, keeping me, this will be the message I preach till they drag me out of here, out of the whole joint. Now, I want you to look here at just these three words in Colossians 3:11. Look there with me, Colossians 3:11. Christ is all. Do you see those three words? Christ is all. That's our subject. Christ is all. That seems so simple, doesn't it? And it's the most difficult thing in the world for a sinner to understand and for a sinner to believe. Christ is all. Now, religious men had come into the church at Colossae, just like it wasn't as if they did some malicious thing. They just came in and sat down and started listening to the gospel, just like men will come and sit down and start listening to the gospel in our day. But after a while, they started speaking about how that Christ is not all. These men were will worshipers and philosophers, and they began to say Christ is not all. I've actually had religious men say that very thing to me. Christ is not all. I've had someone say that specifically. Christ is not all. Now, if Christ is not all to you, if he's not all to me, then Christ will profit us nothing. If he's not all to us, he's nothing to us. If he's not all to us, he'll profit us nothing. If he's not all to us, we're debtors to do the whole law of God ourselves. And now, if Christ is not all to us, it's not going to change the fact that Christ is all. It's not going to change the fact that we're going to have to meet God. It's not going to change the fact that we're going to have to come under the judgment of God for all our sins and every secret thought that we've ever committed, ever thought. Just because Christ is not all to us doesn't change the truth of God whatsoever. It don't alter God's purpose. It doesn't alter God's eternal election of grace. It doesn't alter God's salvation one bit if you and I don't think Christ is all. But I want you to pay attention carefully because this is the one point of the whole message. Christ is all. Christ is all. Now, in Colossians 3:9, Paul says there, well, let's look at verse 8. He says, now, he also put off all these. He had already given some sins, some outward sins that we put off, and other things which are idolatry, which he said we walked in those things when we lived in them, when we were dead in our sins. And now he says, put off also these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, all of those things that we just read about, these are products of the old man, and these are his deeds. And this old man is aggravated, and these the sins of the flesh are fed through outward forms of religion. When men are told Christ is not all, and they believe something else has to be added, that fuels all these things, anger and malice and envy and strife and all those things. Now, this old man means our corrupt nature, the corrupt nature, that nature of our first birth. We put off that man. We put him off. We put his deeds off. The natural man thinks fleshly things makes him to differ from another. The natural man thinks he makes himself accepted with God. Believers, by the Spirit of God, put off that old man. We put him off completely. Somebody can kill that fly. Kill it. All right, verse 10. He says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Now, by the new man is meant that new nature that's created of God the Holy Spirit when Christ enters into the heart. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. This new man's not in a sinner by our first birth. It's not in a sinner by our creating. It's not in a sinner by anything you and I do. It's of the Spirit of God when Christ is formed in us and made all unto us. Now, this is how the new man is renewed. He's renewed in knowledge after the image of God. He's created. Who created him? He's created in righteousness and true holiness, the righteousness and true holiness of Christ Jesus. That's how he's created. As opposed to our first birth, which was we were conceived in sin, as opposed to any pretended righteousness and pretended holiness performed by us, as hypocritical men pretend that they have done. Colossians 3:11 says, "Where?" Now we're talking about this new man. "Where in this new man? There's neither Greek nor Jew." That's all the two people there are, Greek or Jew. There's neither Greek nor Jew. Those born of God are taught of God that our first birth, our race, has nothing whatsoever to do with God's election of grace. It has nothing to do with whom God chose to save. It has nothing to do with our salvation, period. Such a vain distinction is the deeds of the old man. That's the old man. We put him off. In the new man, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Verse 11 says, "And there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision." Those that have been recreated after the image of God are taught in the heart that true righteousness and true holiness is not in the externals of religion. He's not a Jew, which is one outward. The circumcision is not in the flesh. You can put any kind of law keeping, any kind of external works of religion in the place of circumcision, and you got the same meaning. It's not by a pretense of keeping the law. It's not by outward morality. It's not by religious deeds that make a man righteous. None of those things make a man righteous. That's the old man, and that's his deeds which we put off. The old man. Listen to this scripture. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Because Christ becomes all. "And all things are of God." All things are of God. All these new things that we behold, when we behold Christ is all, are all of God. Because He's reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That's what we have to be to come into God's presence. We got to be the righteousness of God. We got to be as holy as God is holy. We got to be as good as God is. That's what we got to come into God's presence. Nothing else. No man on the face of this planet can pretend he's ever done anything that will make him the righteousness of God. None. In the new man, where Christ is made unto us all, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. We're not looking at what's been done or hadn't been done outwardly in the externals of religion at all. That doesn't have a bearing on our salvation. Verse 11 says, "And in this new man there's neither barbarian or Scythian." A barbarian and a Scythian were looked down upon as being the unwise, unlearned, uneducated, crude, uncivilized people. In this new man, in Christ, we're not looking to man's wisdom. We're not looking to our wisdom. We know that a man can't bring himself to Christ by educating himself into the kingdom. He can't bring himself to God by educating himself into the kingdom of God. It don't. I know men. I've known men who could tell you who could preach the gospel far better than I can preach the gospel. Who didn't have a clue who Christ is? Didn't have a clue who he is. It doesn't matter how well a man speaks. It don't matter how much he knows. It matters who he knows in his heart. And that's only by God's grace. Those are distinctions Oh, the old man makes. Those are the distinctions the old man uses to try to set himself apart, make himself to differ from others. We put off that old man with his deeds. Put him off. There's neither barbarian nor Scythian. And then verse 11 says, in this new man, in Christ, there's neither bond nor free. In the new man, in Christ, our standing in Christ is not based on civil law, on anything outwardly. If he's bound under civil law, if he's in prison, spiritually, he's Christ's free man. And if he's free under civil law, spiritually, he's Christ's willing bondservant. You understand what I'm saying? These things, all these things are fleshly, carnal distinctions which natural men regard. They're distinctions that make a man think that they're make men think they're righteous in themselves and make them despise others. But that's the old man. That's all he is. That's all his deeds are. That's all his deeds produce. But by God's grace, we put him off in his deeds. But now look at verse 11 again. But in the new man, Christ is all. Christ is all and in all. Now, I want to show you first of all that Christ is all because he's God. He's all because he's God. Paul's objective in writing this letter is my objective in preaching it to you right here, right now. It's my objective in preaching the gospel to you. It's number one, to pray God would bless it so that they would rest in Christ. Rest right in Christ. And the other thing is that they would ignore any man telling them salvation comes by something in addition to Christ, in addition to you doing something. That except you do this or that thing, you can't be saved. You believer, listen to me. You ignore every man, every preacher. I don't care how decorated he is and how well-educated and how finely dressed he is or anything. If he's telling you that you got to keep the law or you can't be saved, he's telling you a lie. If he's yoking you with the law and binding you with the law, he's telling you a lie. Now, that's just so. Don't misunderstand me. The believer honors, we love the law inwardly, truly. We're the only ones that really do. Because we don't tell men you can lessen that law at all. You can't. And a man that tells you you can keep the law is telling you he's lessening the law, or else there would be no way you could keep it at all. The law cannot be lessened in any degree. It has to be upheld and fulfilled in such fine precision that every dot and dash has to be fulfilled in such honor and glory and magnitude that God had to send his own Son into the earth to do it. And he did. He sent his Son, and he's honored it, magnified it, fulfilled it in every dot and dash for his people, and justified us of all our sins from it, so that trusting Christ, we have established the law of God. It's established. The law says of everyone who's resting in Christ, the law says of us what it says of Christ. This is the holy, just, and good man right here. That's right. Now, that's what it means to believe Christ is all. Anybody tells you different, you ignore them. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, by the person and work of Christ Jesus alone, through God-given faith in Him alone, opposed to any works that you and I have done, period. A believer will maintain good works. A believer will delight in good works because he's born of the Spirit of God and he sees what great things Christ has done for him. But he don't have to be yoked by law. He don't have to be motivated by law. He don't have to be whipped by law and given a promise of a reward for doing something. That sort of man don't know his head from a hole in the ground. He don't know God from a gourd. I'm telling you. Christ people serve him because they want to. And wish they could serve him better than they do. So, Paul begins his letter here declaring to us Christ is all. And he does it by declaring Christ is God, he's the head over all creation, and he's the head over his church. Now look at Colossians 1:15. I'm just going to read some scripture to you here. Colossians 1:15. And as we go here, I want you to notice how much Paul uses this word all things. Notice how he uses this. All, when he's speaking about Christ. Verse 15, he says there that Christ is the image of the invisible God. Let's begin in verse 14. He says in Christ we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's what we need. That's what we're going to have coming to God's presence. And He says, now this is who He is. He's the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is the express image, the outward visible image that you and I can comprehend of the invisible God. That's who He is. He's the firstborn. The word is creator. He's the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, by Christ, who is God the Son, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. All things. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He's before all things. And by Him, all things consist. All things are held together by Him. That's who this Christ is. And He's the head of the body, the church. He's not only the head over all creation, He's the head of the body of the church, His church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things, in creation and in His church, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For, where did he get that? Who determined that He would have all preeminence? For it pleased God the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now Satan's subtle. He's subtle. Satan listens and he understands this gospel better than you and I understand it. And he's so subtle, and those that he has his power over, he doesn't mind them saying many, many good things about Christ. And natural men will say a lot of good things about Christ. So much so that if it was possible, they'd deceive the very elect. But a natural man in his old nature will say a lot of good things about Christ, but Christ can't have the rule over him. Not if he has his own way. He can be a lot of things. He can be much. But he can't be all. He can't be all. Because the man's got, natural man thinks he's got to do something. He wants to contribute something. He wants a little glory for this thing. Can you imagine saying to God, God is not all? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine even letting those words come out of your mouth? God is not all? What shame, what rebellion, what ignorance to say God's not all. So first of all, He's all because He's God. Christ is all because He's God. He's the head over all creation. He's the head over His church. But secondly, Christ is all because He's all the salvation of God's elect. He's all the salvation. All the believer's salvation is of Christ. Look at Colossians 1:20. He says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, by all things right here, He's talking about all the elect of God throughout all time. When he says here, some, whether they be in heaven, because some were already in heaven when Christ went to the cross. They were in heaven by virtue of the fact Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was their surety from before He ever even went to the cross. So by His Spirit resting in Him, there they went to heaven. But He's reconciling to God all of His elect, whether they're in the earth or whether they're in heaven. They're all reconciled together in one, in Christ. Now verse 21, He says, and you that were sometime alienated from God, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. You see, we got to fulfill a law that we can't fulfill. That's the problem. We broke it in Adam. We have got to fulfill all the righteousness of the law. Christ did it in precept, and when He went and laid down His life, He took all the sins of His elect and He put that sin away. He justified His people by His death. So that now we've been reconciled to God. no record of sin exists for God's people. None. And he did this in the body of his flesh through death to present you. Look at it now, verse 22. Holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now there's only one thing a believer does. One thing. That's nothing. That's nothing. And rest in him to do it all. Verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith. That's what faith is. We're resting in Christ our all. If you continue in the faith. This will be the fruit of his being our all. This will be the fruit of us truly being born of God. The fruit of us truly being justified and made righteous in Christ. We will continue. He will keep us. He will preserve us. And we will persevere in the faith. Grounded in Christ. Settled in Christ. And we'll be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What's the hope of the gospel? Look down at verse 27 at the end. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's new man in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want to just read a few more verses here in Colossians. I want you to notice how Paul just keeps using this word all when he's speaking about Christ. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 2. He's saying here, here's my desire. This is why I'm wanting to come and preach this gospel to you. That their hearts might be comforted. Being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You mean there's not someplace else I need to look? You mean I don't really need to study John Calvin and John Knox and Martin Luther and all of those men? If you want to do that in your free time, feel free to do it. But that's not where you're going to find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You're going to find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ. That's where you're going to find them. That's why I don't stand up here and preach men to you who actually preached Christ. I do what those men did and I preach Christ instead. That's what we need to be doing. There's where the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You see this? All. Christ is all. In whom? In Christ. Also, you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Circumcision represents the whole body of our sins being put off. The whole corruption of our filthy old nature being removed completely. So that it don't even have a say in the matter before God. The circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead, and being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's what you were, that's what we were, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Do you see how Christ is all? Now look over at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now I just want to give you some scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:30. In regeneration, when God comes to us, by God the Holy Spirit, Christ is made unto us all. We're put in Christ by God the Father, and then by God the Holy Spirit, Christ is made unto us all. All. That's why I'm telling you, anybody that will say to you, Christ is not all, they mean it. He's not all to them, because to the believer, Christ is all to them. This is what we need, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at this now. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. He put us there by divine election. Who of God in the regeneration is made unto us wisdom. We have the mind of Christ so that we know the things that are freely given to us of God. He made unto us righteousness. He's the perfect fulfillment of everything that's demanded of the holy law. He's righteousness. And sanctification, he's our complete, thorough separation from this world, from sin, from death, into the light of the glorious liberty of the sons of God. He's our sanctification. You go some time, look up the word sanctify. I haven't done a complete study on this yet. on sanctification, but just the word sanctify, I did go through the scriptures and look up every place the word sanctify is used. Sanctified, sanctify. It's never used in a partial sense, ever. Ever in Scripture. I know that men tell us that we're progressively becoming more and more sanctified. It's never used in the Scripture that way. It's just not. If we would just listen to what God says in His Word and use His definition of what He says to be sanctified is, we'd find out it's never halfway done with God. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect, and I'm not saying that we're not going to be one day perfectly conformed to His image. But what I'm saying is, when you're called out of darkness into light, you're not in darkness anymore. You're in light. When you're called out of an unholy state into His holiness, you're holy now. When you're called out of death to life, you're alive now. When you're separated unto God, consecrated to God for God's holy use by God, you're God's, and you're not the world's anymore. Now that's just so. That's just so. We grow in that state, but we don't become more holy. If we died today, we'd be fit to enter into His glory. Because the holiness is Him, and He's become our redemption. Our redemption, so that we're free. We're freed from all this old flesh and this prison of our sin nature and the prison of death. So that, according as it's written now, He that glorieth, we glory now in the Lord. Why? Because He's all. Christ is all. Christ is all the believer's acceptance with God. You be turning with me over to John, the book of John. And let me give you, I'm going to work my way there, but you be turning to John 14. Christ is all the believer's acceptance with God. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. If you're accepted with God, you got it. That's what we need, to be accepted with God. The love of God toward sinners, towards His elect, that's who He loved, it's in Christ. It's in Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? So Paul says, put off the old man with his deeds. Ignore anything in your flesh or anybody else that's telling you you need something other than Christ. Christ is the believer's high priest and He's the Lamb. We need somebody to go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, with blood of a substitute and put it on the mercy seat over the broken law for us and make atonement for us. Christ is that high priest and He's that Lamb. He didn't go with the blood of others. He went with His own blood. He went right into God's presence with it. And He is that mercy seat. He's our advocate with the Father and our propitiation, which means our mercy seat, our place where we have mercy from God. If any man sin, we have an advocate with God, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sin, for His elect the world over. Christ said in John 14, look there with me now, John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now that pretty much sums it up. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Look back at John 6, verse 35. John 6, 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at John 10, 7. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I'm the door. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the door. Christ is the good shepherd. Look there in verse 11. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at John 11. Look at verse 25. Martha was worried about Lazarus, and she said, I know when one day he's going to be raised in the resurrection. And she was telling him all about the doctrine of the resurrection. And Christ stopped her, and he said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Christ is the believer's master. Look at John 13, verse 13. He's the Master and Lord. John 13:13. He said to some, "You call me Master and Lord, you say well, for so I am." That's who He is now. John 15:5. Look at John 15:5. Christ is the vine, and all His children are the branches. "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Look it back at John 8 and verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Christ is the light of His people, no matter where they are in this world. Look at John 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You see, Christ is all. Look at Luke 10, verse 41. Luke 10, 41. You remember Martha, she was serving. And I know, no doubt she's a believer and she had good intentions and she's wanting to serve everybody in the house. That's a good, noble cause. But she got mad because Mary wasn't up helping her. Mary was just sitting at Christ's feet. And she came and she said, she scolded the Lord because of Mary. And listen to what the Lord said to her. Luke 10:41. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." That's the problem with this religious world. They're careful and troubled about many things. About many things. Many things. But look at what the Lord said. "But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Christ is the one thing needful. He's that good part which shall not be taken away from His people. Just as I was finishing up this message, I got an email from Brother Don, and they just put a book on Grace eBooks written by Philip Henry. And what it is called Christ is All, and it's a book of 40 sermons. Philip Henry was Matthew Henry's father. It's a book of 40 sermons, and they're individually titled. And I just jotted down the titles of these sermons. Christ is. You can put Christ is at the beginning of every one of these things. But these are the titles of these chapters, these sermons he preached. Christ is our foundation, food, root, raiment, head, hope, refuge, righteousness, light, life, peace, Passover, portion, propitiation, freedom, fountain, wisdom, way, ensign, example, door, dew, sun, shield, strength, song, horn, honor, sanctification, supply, resurrection, redemption, lesson, ladder, truth, treasure, temple, ark, altar. Christ is all in all. And that's not to have. That's not to have. There's a whole lot more in this book. And there's a whole lot more that hadn't been told. There's not even in this book. So what does the Scripture instruct us to do concerning Christ? I'll just give these to you. Scripture says, "Seek Him while He may be found." Scripture says, "Come unto Him." Scripture says, "Believe on Him." Scripture says, "Rest in Him." Scripture says, "Abide in Him." Scripture says, "Forsake all, take up your cross, and follow Him." Scripture says, "Let nothing turn you from Him." Scripture says, "Watch and be ready for Him when He returns." Scripture says, "And in that last day, be found in Him, not having your own righteousness, but His." That's what Scripture says. Look at one last Scripture, 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. Now, this is the record. This is the whole book. This is the whole of our gospel. This is the whole of our hope. This is the whole of salvation right here. Right here. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, if Christ is all, if He's all, then anything I lose in this world is no loss at all. Because Christ is all. He's that good part that can't be taken from me. If Jesus Christ is all, then I'm dead to the world and the world's dead to me. Nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away. Christ is all. And if Christ is all, when death comes, I'm going to rejoice, for to die will be gain. Because to be absent from this body will be mean to be present with the Lord. Christ is all and in all. Amen.